inspiring gathering to come out here together, make a long trip to be inspired with all your friends together. The hope, I assume, is that you go back home different people and raise the community and the families that you have. Be'ezrat Hashem. I thank you for making this a stop of yours. We feel like this is part of your family. This is not Lakewood. This is home. So, Beruchot Abaot, welcome. Is there anything that I'm supposed to be speaking about? No. Specific? No? Any questions? Or just go? Just go. Okay. Siyata Deshmaya is right. This is part of the... what's the organization that you're part of? This is part of Lamal. This is partnership. Saudi, what does that mean? They pay?
Saudi starts the program. Saudi is organizing everything. Hand your hand. Who inspires us to come to Lakewood to...
She's the one?
Yes.
Team leader.
Beautiful. Baruch Hashem. You and... What is it? Nale?
Lemala.
Nale is something else. Lemala, Be'ezrat Hashem. Shibi matzliach in all that you do. Amen. Okay, we'll just say something very brief. What time is your next what lunch? Oh, you're probably starving.
We have time.
Yes? What time is the flight?
10:30.
Okay. I don't have time, but you know.
We have to stop a little bit.
Okay, good. I'll finish in 5 minutes. Okay. We'll make it very quick.
No.
Okay. We have an important topic to discuss with the Holy Woman of Brazil. It's coming from a very famous piece of information that everybody here knows. Eshet Hayil Miimtza. Shlomo HaMelech begins the great description of the great woman. And after he says how rare this woman is, Miimtza, he says, Rahok mipeninim mikhra. Rahok mipeninim mikhra means that she is more rare or more valuable than a peninim. You know what peninim is? What's that penina?
Pearl.
Penina is pearl. Peninim are pearls. So Shlomo HaMelech says that her value, this great woman, is greater than the value of pearls. The question is, why did Shlomo HaMelech specifically compare the woman's value, the Eshet Chayil, to the value of pearls? We have gold. We have platinum. We have diamonds. We have precious stones. Why, out of all those options, Shlomo HaMelech describes the Eshet Chayil that she's greater than pearls? I don't think you're ever going to forget what I'm going to tell you, because it's very relevant to every single one of you in a very big way. You see, pearls are very unique. Gold is something that Hashem deposited. He put a deposit in the world. We just have to go find it. It's somewhere. Just keep digging and you'll get it. They mine gold, silver, metals. The same with precious stones. They're pieces of rocks that you turn on the other side and you'll see the most magnificent colors and beautiful stones. When Hashem made the world, He deposited in the world precious stones. But where do pearls come from? Pearls are not deposits that we go and look where they are so we can get them. Pearls, real pearls, not the fake ones that most people wear. There are a number of fake pearls. There's real fake. And then there's cultural pearls. There's also a little fake. But the real pearls are very, very rare and very expensive. What are real pearls? Well, they come from oysters, as somebody here said. It's like a fish with shells. Now, the oyster doesn't have pearls inside and generally doesn't make pearls. But when the oyster has some irritation, something came into inside its body, on its skin, maybe a piece of dirt, maybe a parasite. Something came in to the oyster on its soft skin, so it becomes irritated. It's not feeling good. Hashem made for this oyster a factory that produces a certain type of liquid is called mother of pearl. In order to fight this irritation, it puts the mother of pearl on top and puts more layers and layers and layers and layers. And very often you come back after a few months or after a few years and you'll find the most beautiful pearls that came from that spot of the irritation. This description of Shlomo HaMelech tells us a lot about the Eshet Chayil, about the great woman, and what it means to be a great woman, and what it is that a person must do to become a great woman. Because if you ask the street will give you everything that is wrong. And we grow up in the streets. And maybe, Baruch Hashem, we're not like the streets. But a lot of times, we do get some taste of what they're selling. The great woman is like pearls because she cannot be found. She's not a deposit that you go look for her. When a woman gets married, she is not an Eshet Chayil. She is not someone that you're going to go look for that's already there. An Eshet Chayil is work in progress. The oyster, for years of its life, was comfortable, didn't have any issues, didn't have any challenges. It was having a very easy life until something went wrong. And it is there at that point where the oyster became very precious. A young lady, you know, I was once listening to a bunch of men that were talking about how difficult it is to find a good shidduch for their daughters. And one of the men said, you know, you never know what you're getting in a boy. You just never know. Which is true. I can't say never know, but sometimes it feels that way. That's what one of the men was saying. You never know what you're getting. So I joined the conversation, and I told them at the same time, it's true, you don't know what you're getting, but at the same time, you also don't know what you're giving. And they looked at me like, what do you mean we don't know? We know our girls. I said, your girls are like an oyster without irritation. I said, for 20 years, they've been protected. Their parents paid their bills. They had comfort in homes they didn't build. Someone paid their credit cards. They were very comfortable. You don't know what you're giving, because the Eshet Chayil isn't produced when things are easy. Tell me what's going to happen when she gets married, and if God forbid she's having a hard time having a child. I want to know what happens then. Tell me what happens when, after a few years of marriage, she's sitting with five kids that are hanging on her head. That's what I want to know, what you gave. Tell me what happens when there's a struggle financially in the home. Tell me what happens when the husband is not so easy to deal with in certain situations. Tell me what happens when she's dealing with her mother-in-law that might be a little too much. You don't know what you're giving. You see, the Eshet Chayil is not a deposit that people go and pick it up. It's something that works over time, and it's only going to happen. It's only going to come out through difficulty. It's not maybe pleasant to look forward to, but it's a reality of life. You cannot become an Eshet Chayil unless you got a certificate through the difficult areas of life. One of the great letters that was written by a great man who actually lived in Brooklyn, his name is Rav Yitzchak Huttner, Alav HaShalom, about a mile down from here. He's a very big yeshiva, Yeshivat Chaim Berlin. In one of his famous letters that he wrote to one of his students who was struggling, he told him that the struggles of life, he says, are like rechem. They're like the womb of the mother. That's where she puts her child. Rechem legadlut. They are the womb of greatness. The challenges of life are the womb of greatness. What an unbelievable description. There's no way to have a child without having a womb. It's not possible. The rechem is the only way to produce a child. Gadlut, the greatness of a person, can only happen through the rechem. Can only happen through challenges. And the rechem also doesn't produce like a microwave. It takes time. A great person takes time. But don't miss the opportunities that come your way to produce the great pearls. I'd like to share with you a conversation I had with a woman that called me, actually not from this community. Basically, in short, this woman and her family decided, she was a young lady, maybe 22 years old. She was married a couple of years. And they basically decided that she needs to get divorced from her husband. So in order to feel good about themselves and not to feel guilty, they decided they're going to call a rabbi just to give them a stamp of approval that they're obviously doing the right thing based on the circumstance. So for some reason, I got the phone call. So I met with her. And basically, I'll tell you in short the conversation. She told me I got married a few years ago to my husband, but he's not the same man that I married. She tells me that now he became more observant. His Shabbat is different than it was when we were dating. Now he keeps Shabbat. It's very difficult for me. Kashrut. He starts his morning very early. He goes to pray, to learn. He leaves at night. What may be beautiful for some ladies, but she says, I didn't sign up for this. This was not what I got married to. And there's nothing that I could do. This is not what I'm looking for. This is basically the short of the conversation. I told her, while I understand her, I want to share with her a story. Maybe a little different than hers, but very similar. The true story. A story of a woman, I hope we can appreciate this story. A woman in Eretz Yisrael a number of years ago. This is a top Bet Yaakov girl. She went through the system of the Bet Yaakov, and she was from the most wanted young ladies. A wonderful family, very intelligent, committed, hardworking, beautiful. Obviously, she's looking for someone appropriate for someone like her. And sure enough, they made a shidduch with a top young man from a top yeshiva. She's looking for a real Ben Torah, someone who's going to be a Talmid Chacham Amiti. Maybe, who knows, to be a great person in the future. That's where she was thinking. And they made that shidduch. And she got married. A week after her marriage, her husband approaches her and says to her, I need to have a conversation with you. He tells her, I respect you, and whatever you decide, I respect and I will be with you. He says, I just want to tell you that I have no interest whatsoever in learning Torah. You have to understand what kind of young lady we're talking about. Her whole life she's dreaming of a Ben Torah. He says to her, my father thinks and my mother thinks that I'm going to learn in a certain kollel. I already spoke to the Rosh Kollel and told them that if my parents check, just tell them I'm here, but I'm not coming. He's my whole life. My parents are dreaming of their son becoming a great Talmid Chacham. My mother was always calling my Rebbe to see how I'm doing. She made for me extra large cookies, maybe too large, when I finished the Masechet. She was always on top of me, my father, my mother. This was the road that I was on. But the pressure was too much for me. I did it when I was single, but I'm telling you, going forward, I have no interest in learning Torah. I understand whatever you want to do, and I will do whatever you say. So she told him, So you're going to go to work? She said, well, I can't work either. Why can't you work? He says, if my parents find out that I'm working, they will be broken. I cannot do this to my parents. This is a real story. This young lady, I don't know where she has the wisdom. This young lady turns to her husband, who she sees obviously is troubled. She says to him, I am your Ezer Kenegdo. I am here to be your helper. And whatever it is that you do, I am there for you, And for me, it's Kodesh Kodashim. It's Holy of Holies. I don't know how hard that must have been to say those words. But that's what she told him. And she went out to work. And her husband's sitting home. And she gave him everything that a wife would give any great person. This is going on for years. It's hard to imagine. A few years later, they had twin boys. And now, after a few weeks, she needs to go back to work. But she can't go to work. Who's taking care of the children? So he says, I'll do it. I got nothing to do. She says, okay, great. He spends a few weeks with the children at home. You know what's coming. Believe it or not, after a few weeks or a month, he asked his wife if she would mind that he get somebody in the morning for a few hours to watch the children while he go learn. And he'll pay from the money he gets from the kollel, he'll pay this lady to watch the children. And this penina of a woman, she says, I'm your ezer kenegdo. Whatever you want to do, for me is Kodesh Kodashim. And he started to go learn in the morning for an hour or two. At some point, he started learning in the afternoon also. Today, he is one of the great rabbis in Eretz Israel. This is a penina. While we can never learn from us to other people's situations, because there's always something unique or different. But obviously this penina saw a husband that wasn't ready to do something. She saw a husband that was struggling. But she also understood what her position is. She didn't sign up for this. But that's not how life works, and that's not how a penina grows. An oyster never signs up to make pearls. It's something that comes through the challenges of life. I told this young lady, I said, if you would have came to Moshe Rabbeinu at the age of 79 and a half. He's almost 80 years old. You say, Moshe Rabbeinu, how are you doing? How's life? Great. Have you accomplished in your life? Yes. Baruch Hashem, I've lived a good life. Helped a lot of people. Did a lot of good. I'm a shepherd. I'm doing a lot of beautiful things. Trying to take care of my family. I said, would you ever imagine that talking to him, that this man is going to be Moshe Rabbeinu? You think Moshe Rabbeinu would ever dream in his life that he would become the greatest man in the history of mankind? That he would go to Shamayim to bring Torah to Am Yisrael? You think Moshe Rabbeinu at 80 years old knew where things were headed in life? You think he knew what he signed up for? Ask Rabbi Akiva at the age of 40. You think he knew what he would become? I said, you're so confident about what you didn't sign up for. I said, do you understand that this is part of life's growth? I don't know if this is for you or not. But one thing I could tell you is that an oyster would produce some beautiful things before they walked out on an opportunity. I said, does he treat you well? She says, the best. He's the most wonderful husband. He takes care of me. He speaks nicely. He's respectful. I told her, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know what a penny now could do. Everybody's got their own penny now moments. Some are worthy to speak about in public and some are not. But you have to know that when there is a moment of penina, it's a moment of the eshet chayil. It's actually the only way to produce an eshet chayil. There is no other way to be an eshet chayil. It's specifically when we have whatever challenge comes our way. And a woman is created in such a way that this is her reality, her essence. The Gemara says, famous Gemara, maybe you've heard it, that before a young woman is born, it says in Shamayim, they declare, Bat Ploni, the daughter of Ploni, the daughter of this person, is going to marry Ploni. You've heard of this Gemara before. But I ask you, why does it say Bat Ploni? Why is she the daughter of Ploni? Why is she not Plonit? Why is she not given her own name? He was Bat Ploni Le Ploni. Why is she the Bat Ploni? And the husband is called Ploni. And the answer is very simple. Because Hashem gave woman the special ability to adjust. Much more than a man. She's a bat ploni. When she's born, she has a father and she kind of fits herself in the father's way. And then she has a husband. And then she kind of makes a different kind of adjustment to change a little bit. In fact, the Gemara says that if lo alenu is a divorce, a woman and a man have to separate. They can't live together in the same place. So the Gemara says, well, what if they both have 50%? He has 50%, she has 50%. They live together. What should they do? In the same block, what should they do? Well, they have to separate. Who moves out? The Gemara says, the woman moves out. We would say the opposite. We would say, let the man go. Gemara says, no, the woman goes. Why? Says the Gemara, an unbelievable line. Til tule de gavra, the movement of a man, kashin mide eteta. The change for a man is more difficult than a change for a woman. It's part of the reality of a woman that she has certain power to be able to change and to adjust to something different than what she was used to or what she thought was going to happen. That is the great Eshet Chayil. Of course, everybody has to adjust in life. Men and women have to adjust. No question about that. But the woman has a certain mission of adjustment. It's not just a thing. It's part of her Eshet Chayil status. Her ability to adjust with the different challenges of life. You know, in the word Nisayon in Hebrew, what does Nisayon mean? A challenge, a test. The word Nisayon is made up of two sections. Nun, Samach. Nes. Nes means to go high, like a flag. Up. And then the next three letters are Yud, Vav, Nun Sofit. I don't know if you realize. One more time. They're Yud, Vav, and Nun Sofit. You know what those three letters do? They go up like steps. There's a Yud, a little, then a Vav, and then Nun Sofit. The challenges of life are not accidental. They're not bad. They are a necessity to make a nest, to take someone and make them special. There's no such thing as becoming special without the challenges. Nobody wants them. Nobody asks for them. But when they're there, we must realize what it is. Sometimes they're small. They don't have to be big things. But whatever it is, the Eshet Chayil knows, this is my time to produce pearls. This is my time to shine. In reality, that is what makes a great woman. It's not like I'm becoming a great woman and this is a side problem. No. From there, all the good will come. It says Yaakov Avinu wanted to relax. Vayeshev Yaakov. He wanted to live life b'shalva. He wanted to live life peacefully, with tranquility. Hashem says, oh no, not for you, Yaakov. Right away, all the issues with his son Yosef started. And the question is, what's so bad about Yaakov wanting to have tranquility in his life? Surely he wanted to do more in his life. That's why he wanted tranquility. He could do more when things have calmness, this peace of mind. I could do more in my life. So what's wrong with that? Hashem can't grant him more opportunity? But the answer is, Hashem was telling him that there's no greater opportunity of growth in life than through the challenges. It's not what he wanted, not what he asked for, but that's what makes us human and Hashem greater than us. He knows exactly where to guide us. He knows exactly where to lead us. Last week I sat with a young woman, not so young, she's maybe 40 years old. She has a beautiful family. She wanted to sit with me. I didn't know what it was about. And she sat down, and the minute she sat down, she starts crying. Basically, she came to reveal a secret that very few people know. The secret is that a young boy that she had a few years ago is not a normal boy. He needs a lot of extra help that normal kids don't need. He's a special needs child. And she didn't know what to do with herself. How does she deal with that? Does she tell people? Does she hide him? Does she send them to school? But no school is really for him.
The same woman?
No. Different story. Different story.
She stayed married with the woman.
Yeah. Oh, she stayed married. I think. I think. She stayed married after the story. I don't know what happened till now. I'm hoping good. In that conversation, I asked her, do you feel really bad about having such a child? I said, forget what people say. I said, how do you feel? Here are the words that she said. She said, this child has changed my life and the life of all my children. They have become different people since this boy came and brought his light into our home. We don't know what makes the challenge for each individual. We don't have that vision. But we can be sure that the Creator up there is guiding our lives, and maybe it's not what we signed up for. Maybe not. Whether it's up or it's down. I gave this woman the opposite story of her story. She came in to say, I didn't sign up for someone so much greater. But the message is the same. It's not about what we sign up for that makes us a penina. Verahok mipninim mikhra. The opportunities of life are specifically when the challenges come. I am sure that every single young lady, or maybe a little older lady, understands very well what I'm talking about. I'm sure that you're looking back into your life and probably there are certain things that you would have done different had you known this years ago. But regardless, this is the wisdom of the great man, Shlomo HaMelech, who gives us clarity, both for men and women, how to be able to achieve a true life of value and a life of success. Rechem lagadlut. There's no child being born without a rechem. And there is no eshet hayil that doesn't go through the challenge of the penina. Verahok mipeninim mikhra. She is something more valuable than pearls. She understands, unlike the pearl, the oyster has no free choice. But the great woman does. And she makes the right choice of dealing with her situation. Because her situation is kodesh kodashim. Her situation is really holy of holies. Moshe Rabbeinu was told when he was 80 years old and he came close to the burning bush, Hashem told him, the land that you're on right now is Admat Kodesh. The land, the place that you're standing right now, it's Admat Kodesh. It's a land of holiness. Some explain beautifully. That's not only for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's for every single person. Wherever you are in life, that's Admat Kodesh. You are right now in a very holy place. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we take full advantage of all the great moments of life that we did expect. And maybe the ones that we didn't expect, and make them something beautiful and fruitful. Without a question, without a question, every great person will have many stories about the challenges that made them. And I pray for all of you that you should have tremendous beracha, that you should see all the great opportunities of life, and each and every one of us should always be proud looking back to see what we've accomplished. It's really a great honor to host our family. I don't look at you as visitors. We do get a lot of visitors, but you're not visitors, you're our family. This is another home for you. And Be'ezrat Hashem will always be together, bringing tremendous kvod shamayim. Thank you for visiting. We appreciate it. Thank you, Mrs. Shama, and all the people that were involved. I hope you enjoy your lunch and your flight home. I do have a special gift for you as a sign of our family connection. I just wrote a book a few months ago about Shema. And I don't know if you all read English.
Yes.
You do? How do you guys know such? Beautiful. Huh? Very good. So they are, I don't know where they put them. I think they're outside. Love for you to take one book and enjoy it. Thank you.